put your wire in there, please. Sure. I don't want to catch my hand in it. It go flying somewhere.
Well, just get ready. I have ginger for your voice.
Oh, okay. You're doing something special for me?
No. I saw you.
I need to hold the mic. I walk.
You need this?
Praise the Lord. I have been having some trouble with my voice, so I hope it holds out. Just, I want to mention about this reaching beyond words. That site is like a bulletin board. It has many different sites. It has Brother Mark's website on there. It has the Sunlight Ministries website on there. There's even something for children. It's Kit for Kids. It's on there. There is a wealth of information, messages, both audio and PDF forms that you can download. We also include, you know, on that website other websites like David Wilkerson, some of the words that he has brought that are pertinent to this end time. Is this mine? And also some of the other saints that have gone on, Leonard Ravenhill for one. There's also much material there for A.W. Tozer. Now, probably you haven't heard of any of these names. There's also some information there from a man called C.T. Studd. These are the pioneers of righteousness. And it's messages that have got lost through the years, buried in the archives. And there have been different ones, praise the Lord, who have taken the time and the energy to dig them out and make them available to us. We are living in a very critical time. Praise the Lord. And we are in very much need of the pure Word of God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for your presence here, both within the midst of this congregation and in the midst of the hearts of these people. Father, I understand it is not the words that one speaks, but it is in the unction, the anointing, the moving of the Holy Spirit that is in the words. So I just come by the power of the blood this morning, Lord, to submit my mind unto you. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. Let my emotions be your emotions. And let my desires also be your desires, Lord. I pray that you would give us a hearing ear. It is just as important, Father, that I hear as well as those that are listening to me. For it is is that we are all learning to come to the fullness and to the stature of the man that is called Christ. We submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to you today in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, say amen. Oh boy. Hallelujah. I want to give you just a little of my history. I have been coming to Africa since 1989. I was much younger then, of course. And we were going into Nigeria. And we went back and forth to Nigeria, sometimes once, sometimes twice a year. For almost 17 consecutive years. And many of these, some of these young men here were a lot younger then too. Praise the Lord. It's really a blessing to see them grab the message and begin to run with it in this hour. We have also gone into India with this particular word. We were privileged to be able to go into Europe just after the Iron Curtain fell. And we were able to establish many different fellowships in that, in the European economy or in the European geographical location. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We even went to the UK a number of times. Hallelujah. And I remember one time, I don't remember the town, but we were on the seashore. It was kind of a resort town. And I was walking down through a lot of construction. And the Lord told me, spoke to me, and he said that this word must be brought to England. Because he said that he had an obligation to the Englishman. Because much blood has been shed in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it is my awareness that some of you may be those that carry the word to England. It was a responsibility that was delegated to you as a people. I'm not talking Kenyan, but I'm talking as from the continent of Africa. Hallelujah. Because quite frankly, there is an investment that God has made in lives and blood to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I trust that you will rise to the occasion. Hallelujah. My wife and I have 7 children. They are all grown and have families of their own. And I have somewhere around 20 grandchildren. I don't know exactly. My wife would know. She could tell you the names and ages and birthdays and all of the same things. Hallelujah. And so I have a lot of knowledge and experience in raising children. Praise the Lord. Which which I think is very necessary if you want to be involved in the ministry of God. Hallelujah. I was saved at the age of 8 years of age. What I should tell you is I was born and bred in the Baptist church. I was saved at the age of 8 years of age. I backslid at the age of 15. Went into the world. And God pursued me very diligently. When He rescued me, He brought me not only out of the sin and degradation that I was in, but He also delivered me from the Baptist church. Hallelujah. But I then began to think like God, so I joined the Pentecostal church. No. I thought I was thinking like God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I found out that the Pentecostal church, though they have an experience that they call Pentecostal, was as every bit as much in trouble as the Baptist church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. As a very young man, somewhere in my 20s, God called my wife and I out of the church organized system. And we started having fellowship in our home. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And quite frankly, I think that is the pattern. I said quite frankly, I think that is the pattern of the church, and should be something that we cultivate and encourage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says in Acts of the church that was in Acts that they went house to house. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That means that there had to be more than one man running the show. Because one man could not be in every place at the same house, in the same house at the same time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't belong to an organization. I have no backing behind me concerning all of that, what comes with that type of affiliation. But I have affiliation of believers that I fellowship with, both locally as well as universal. I know a lot of you are thinking that doesn't work. You have to be organized. I say you don't have to be organized. You have to communicate. There's a difference between organizing and communicating. Hallelujah. My head communicates with my body. I don't have a director of the shoulders ministry. I mean, my brain doesn't tell the shoulder ministry to make the hand or the arm to move. Hallelujah. If something in my body tells my head that I'm thirsty, several things go into play. First and foremost, it must tell my eyes to look for water. Then it must direct my feet to go and walk through the water. Hallelujah. Then it has to tell the hand to do what the hand's supposed to do with the water. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine how long that would take if everyone had to go through, every move had to go through committee?
You,
you and I would die of dehydration. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You see, I always have to be the bad guy. The bad guy. I have to be the bad guy. They come and they tell you all the good things. And then they tell me it's my turn and I have to come and tell you all the bad things. Hallelujah. But you know, it really isn't a bad thing to be corrected. If we can hear the correction. Praise the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you that God is not happy with the ecclesiastical system. And I'm also here to tell you that judgment is going to start coming to the ecclesiastical system. It makes no difference your affiliation or your denomination. And you know, quite frankly, that word denomination should be your first clue. Hallelujah. Because denomination means you divide something. If you go into the English dictionary and look up the word denomination, it means to divide something. Hallelujah. And I would ask you what Paul asked one of his churches. Is Christ divided? They had the church of Paul. They had the church of Apollos. And there was a contention and an argument as to who had the truth and who was in the position of right and who had the superior knowledge of God. Hallelujah. In fact of the matter, the devil got into church business a very long time ago. Quiet, Mike. Did you hear me? Maybe you didn't hear me. Devil got into church business a long time ago. What Jesus Christ did on Calvary should have finished the devil. In fact, there is evidence of that in Revelation when it talks about the beast with the many different heads. And one of those heads had a deadly wound that healed. Hallelujah. Now, who do you think gave the wound to the dragon? The deadly wound. It was the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that wounded the dragon with a deadly wound that should have killed it. Hallelujah. But the devil decided to get into church business. And he stepped into it and he invented and he began to move and to push denominational thinking. Hallelujah. I am using the word denominational because you all seemingly understand that terminology. Denomination denomination is a thought that comes from hell. You guys could at least be saying amen over here. I feel like I'm on a plank walking out on the ship. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know if I will ever see you again. Praise God. So I have to give you everything that I can give you in hopes that some of you will hear in the Spirit. Because let me tell you something. If you really hear the reality of what is being spoken to you today, not just by me, but the culmination of all that are speaking, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you your desire for preeminence. It's going to cost you your position of reputation. I mean, it's going to cost you everything. Because it says that if you find the pearl that is buried in a field, a man has to go and sell all that he has. That means everything that you have that is you. Brethren, we are not talking about money per se. Money is down here. Prestige is down here. It is what you think of yourself and what you think you are. 1st and foremost, as a person, the family in which you come from, the generations of lineage that you have, the familiarity of your environment, the position or the place of your national heritage, all of those things have to be put on the block. Your intelligence, your propensity of education or the position thereof, your excellence as a person to be able to communicate, to be able to relate, even the desires that you have in the relationship that you have with God and in the work that you are involved. Are you getting the idea? It's going to cost you everything. Hallelujah. Your sense of rightness and wrongness. Everything. You're not going to be able to respond on your own. You have to be connected with the head as well as with the body. You have to be connected with the head as well as with the body. Hallelujah. And sometimes your body doesn't quite do what some other part of your body wants to do. Or sometimes when your body hurts in a particular location, the whole body feels the pain of it. And sometimes there is nothing that the rest of the body can do until the healing of that member is fixed. Hallelujah. It says of Jesus Christ that he did nothing. Now, I don't know. What language are you talking?
I'm talking Swahili.
All right. Is the word nothing in Swahili?
Neno, nothing,
means,
katika Swahili.
Means what?
Means nothing. It means nothing.
Well, good. Hallelujah. I'm laying out for you the cost. I am laying out for you the cost. You know, the Bible says that a man does not go to does not build a house unless he first sit down and begin to consider the cost. Do you hear me, brother?
Very well.
There's a lot on the block for you. I don't know you.
Yes.
But I know your heart. And I can see the fire that is being kindled in it. You're hearing something not with your natural ear. But you're hearing something down inside of your soul. And it's exciting you. Hallelujah. But it's going to cost you. Hallelujah. If you decide that this is what you want, the price is going to have to be paid in incremental amounts. When the demand comes to knock upon your door, you remember. You remember. You have asked God to give to you the totality of what it is in Him that He has for you. Hallelujah. And in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the tribulation, you will have the strength and the assurance to know that God is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that no man goes to war unless he first considers what it is and what it's going to take. Hallelujah. To defeat and overcome the enemy. Least in the midst of the battle. Hallelujah. He capitulates and he sends out an emissary to find a position of surrender. Hallelujah. Revelation says, I believe it's somewhere in the 21st chapter, it says they overcame him. Revelations 12. They overcame him. Who did they overcome? Who did they overcome? Hallelujah. They overcame not only Satan, but they overcame the darkness. There has been many things this morning and yesterday that was spoken about the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said that I was born in, my mother did conceive me in what? In iniquity. And I was born in sin. So there is a darkness that is within you. And a darkness that is within me. And that darkness is malignant. Do you understand the word malignant? Hallelujah. When you hear that a person has a cancer and it's malignant, what is your thought that goes through your mind? Huh? You think they're finished. You think of all the problem and the process that they're going to have to go through. And probably at the end of the day be succumbing to the cancer that is eating up their life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the devil devised a way to kill you a long time ago. Hallelujah. Without really doing too much of anything. Because he is aware of your darkness. He is aware of my darkness. My darkness is familiar. It comes from my father. It comes from my mother. My grandfather. My grandmother. Hallelujah. My darkness is not only familiar, but it is affected by the environment that I live in. Hallelujah. The family heritage that I have received because of sin. Hello? Praise the Lord. You know, when I'm born again, it doesn't dissolve or get rid of all of that garbage. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. It does not get rid of all of that garbage. What happens is that in the midst of that darkness, there is a deposit of blood of Jesus Christ. And with that deposit of blood, there is a quickening in my soul, and I am born again. But I am born as unto God by the virtue of God's life in me. I have become, as it were, a living soul. But that living soul is encapsulated in darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everything that, if I do nothing about that darkness, then it will eventually smother the life that is in me. Hallelujah. The Baptists have a doctrine. It says, once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. Doesn't make any difference what you do. You can be in the bar drinking and cussing, telling dirty stories, but you've been saved. Hallelujah. So if Jesus comes all of a sudden, he's going to rip you up out of that iniquity and put you in your heavenly position. It's a lie. The Bible says that I am to work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. Paul said it a different way. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection to the Holy Spirit of God. By virtue of his blood, I bring it into subjection. Least what? Least what? I, Paul, become a castaway. If you go and look that word castaway up, it has the meaning of one who is found in perdition. Did you hear me? Paul, at the end of the day, in a prison cell, writing an encouragement to a church, hallelujah, was telling the church that unless he maintained and brought things into subjection to the power of God, hallelujah, he could be end up in perdition, end up in hell. There's no qualms about it, brethren. It's very clear in the Word of God. Seven times in the book of Revelation, in the first two chapters, the main thesis, the main thought that is repeated repetitively is that he that overcometh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You got all that in that little bit, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So overcoming is a biblical fact. It is so biblical that the Bible even says that we are surrounded. Right? It says in Hebrews that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that they, the great cloud of witnesses, cannot be made perfect without you. Without you. Without you. Without you. Without you. Without you. Did you hear it? Is that some strange doctrine? Hallelujah. Yes, if you were to go to the church on the corner and begin to preach that you can be perfect. Hallelujah. That there is a process of perfection that can be achieved prior to crossing over into death. Can you say amen? If you can't say amen, say oh me or oh my. Or just say oh boy. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says we groan wanting to be delivered from this body of death. Did you hear it? Body being delivered from this body of death doesn't mean that God's going to rapture you out of your set of circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. You know the devil would much rather see you get raptured than to overcome. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrew, when it goes through the list of Hebrews, the heroes. Hallelujah. They said that they did not accept deliverance. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
They did not accept deliverance. For what? For the hope of a better resurrection. Hallelujah. What resurrection were they looking for? They were looking for the resurrection of perfection. Hallelujah. In the culmination of time, God's going to bring those things in earth. Did you hear it? Going to bring those things in earth and those things in heaven, and they're going to walk together in an overcoming company of people that's called the First Fruits Company. That's called the 144,000. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's called the Two Witness Company. Hallelujah. Brother Mark, I believe, touched on it yesterday, did you not? Hallelujah. When you have the Spirit of the Word, which is the representation of Moses, Hallelujah. And you have the spirit of Elijah, which is a representation of the spirit of God in full measure. Hallelujah. You have Jesus Christ walking on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in order for Jesus Christ to walk on the earth, I have to do something about this old man. I have to do something about the heritage of Asbel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Freyakel in Ellsbury and all the rest of the things. Hallelujah. I was born an American. You know, I loved the place I was born in. I loved the place that I was born in. I was born in a state called California. And if you would have asked me as a young man what heaven must be like, I would say, look at California. Hallelujah. I enjoy the privileges that my passport gives me. Hallelujah. But if I am determined to hang on to my American heritage, if I am determined to be an American, I am going to miss God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're saying praise the Lord. We can just put Kenyan, English, and the rest of the nationalities that are represented here in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a certain environment that I was born in. It influenced me in the music that I would listen to. It would influence me the way that I would dress. It influenced me in the things that I would allow. It influenced me in the way and the things that I would do. Hallelujah. There is a spirit called the cowboy spirit. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, was under that spirit. Hallelujah. I dressed like a cowboy. I talked like a cowboy. I did the things that cowboys did. I had horses. Hallelujah. I listened to cowboy music. Hallelujah. I walk like a cowboy. I even spit like a cowboy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the first time I ever went into Europe on a mission trip, there was a brother and a sister by the name of Brother and Sister Dusile. And you know, they must have seen something in me other than the cowboy. Because they asked me to accompany them and to travel with them. Praise the Lord. And I can remember I had my big cowboy hat. I had my button-down shirt with all the little pearl buttons. My big cowboy belt. The big leather with all of the intricate designs and carvings on it. I had my snake skin boots, cowboy boots. Hallelujah. I was wearing my Levi's with a Levi patch on the pocket. Hallelujah. And on the pocket was this little worn spot where I used to have a can of tobacco all the time. Because cowboys don't go without their tobacco. Hallelujah. And I can remember as I was coming out of the plane, walking down the jetway, there was this English mother that was walking with her child coming by me. The child was very little, and she saw me, and her eyes went really big. Hallelujah. And she began just to stare. Mama was dragging her, and she was dragging her on. And as she passed me, I heard her saying to Mommy, she said, Mommy, a cowboy. Bless Brother Dusile and Sister Mavis's heart. You know, they did not say one word to me about it. I know that they were embarrassed. I know that they were wishing I had better knowledge. But as I beset under this word, hallelujah, as I sat under this word, that word began to change something on the inside. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It began to change something on the inside. So one day I woke up and I decided I didn't need my hat anymore. Hallelujah. I didn't need my turquoise bolo tie anymore. Hallelujah. I did not need my boots anymore. I begin to trade them in for a different apparel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God broke the power of the Spirit over me. It wasn't because the man walked up to me and laid hands on me. He says, I rebuke this cowboy spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It wasn't done in rantings and ravings and sweating and pounding the floor. Hallelujah. It came because of something in my heart that was responding to the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as that power began to work in me, it began to break things in me. Praise the Lord. And the nature of that deposit began to expand. You know, it is told to us in Ephesians, in chapter 4, that there is a measure of Christ that is given to every believer. Hallelujah. That measure is a word that means capacity. Hallelujah. This bottle has a particular capacity. Now, the difference in this bottle and the word in the Greek in that chapter means that the capacity in that chapter has the ability to expand. And the expansion of it relies on how much you put into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some of us work on the stretching the capacity of our stomachs. Hallelujah. And that capacity is recognized by the expansion of our girth. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. You know, I'm just as guilty as anybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when I first came into this message, it was not called Kingdom Message. The message was called Death to yourself. Did you hear me? That's what we preached. That's what we sat under. That's what we heard in the midst of the word that was being brought to us. Death to self. And the resurrection to a newness of life. Hallelujah. But you know, it seems that that name or that description was too hard. Hallelujah. It seemed like it was too severe, too judgmental. Hallelujah. So they changed the name. Hallelujah. You see, I have been in this gospel that we are ministering to you for 40 years. Hallelujah. And I have seen the evolution of this gospel from the beginning until now. Hallelujah. And what I know is that we have to return to our foundation. We have to go back to the basics. Hallelujah. We have to go back and touch the hem of God's garment. Praise the Lord. So that virtue might flow. You know that story is in the Bible for you and I. That story is not just a historical account of a woman. Hallelujah! That has an issue of blood. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But that story in the Bible is an illustration of the church. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. The church has had an issue of blood. Hallelujah. And it says that she had been robbed of all of her substance. Hallelujah. At the hands of the physicians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if that's the story of the church, that means that if I'm in the place of ministry and I am not utilizing the revelation of death to self, not just in the aspect of preaching it, hallelujah, but in actuality walking out the living of it, hallelujah, then I am guilty. I am one of those physicians that is sucking the life, hallelujah, out of the church. Hallelujah. It took an act of desperation. My God. You know what we really have to ask God? We need to ask Him the desperateness of our circumstances. Our soul circumstances. We need to ask Him, what is it that is in me that is dying and killing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to jump a little bit. Don't forget this woman, because she's indicative of you and me. Let me say this first. Around Jesus Christ as He was walking through the streets of Jerusalem, there was a throng of rabbinical people. And He Himself was considered to be a rabbi. Now, He did not call Himself rabbi, but those around Him looked at Him as though He was a rabbi. Particular malady of this woman, hallelujah, made her Are you following the thinking? Jewish law says that if a person, such as this woman, were to touch the garment or the garment of the rabbinical person, she should be taken out and stoned. Hallelujah. This is in your Bible in Leviticus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this woman came to a conclusion that her condition was such that she was dead anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why when she touched the garment and the virtue flowed out of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She withdrew herself. She withdrew herself back into the crowd. Hallelujah. And Jesus didn't know. He had to ask, who touched me? Hallelujah. You know what that really demonstrates? Is that you have the want to. If you have the want to inside of you, and you realize the condition of your soul and the need for the flow of virtue, hallelujah, you have the power to draw it out of God. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? You have the power to draw it out of God, aside from Him giving it to you. Now, this is important. Do you hear me? This is important. You have an authority that God has given to you by virtue of the commandment that went over Adam and Eve in the garden. There was a declaration. There was something that God said to Adam when He said, take dominion. Hallelujah. He put Adam in charge of his environment. Hallelujah. Not only his physical environment, hallelujah, but his spiritual environment. Hallelujah. Because when God breathed into Adam, Adam became a living soul. Did you ever? Not living in life as we know it, but he became a spiritual identity. This thought is brought out in the New Testament when one of the heathen thought they could do what Paul was doing, and he went to these demons and commanded them in the name of God, of the God of Paul, to come out of that person. Hallelujah. What did he say? What did the demon say? He says, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Loose! Hallelujah. Loose! Hallelujah. And they proceeded to knock the tar out of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not your physical body. It's not your physical countenance. Hallelujah. That demons know. They don't look at your physical features. Hallelujah.
fire.
Amen.
They look at your spiritual, in a spiritual reality of life. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So there is a position, there is a place of development and overcoming that God is expecting. And He has expected it from the beginning. Now, your Bible, is it written in Swahili? That's Swahili. Verse 26 of chapter 1. My Bible, in the King James, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Your word for likeness. Tell me, what's it mean?
Likeness.
To be the same as.
Yeah.
That's what your word means.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You think God has changed His mind? Or do you think that God is waiting till the end of time, or you cross over and at that time He makes you into His likeness? You know, wave the magic wand. Abracadabra, you're now in my likeness. Abracadabra. Wave the wand, you are now in my likeness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there is a passage of scripture said to one of the churches in Revelations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation, the third chapter. This is the admonition to the church of Sardis. Hallelujah. You can read all there is preceding that, but I want to read to you. It says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Hallelujah. That means that they have not participated in or are participating in with regards to the environment in which they live. Hallelujah. Put your finger there. Turn with me to John chapter 17. This is the prayer that God was praying for His disciples, but it's also the prayer that God was praying for you and me. John chapter 17, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Do you notice the position of equality? Do you notice the position of equality? Now he was not talking to perfect people. This is before the Garden of Gethsemane. We know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. John fled naked. Peter tried to chop off the head of one of the guards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And yet God is saying in a prophetic word that they are perfect. And not only are they perfect, but they are also equal with him because they're on the same level as him. Hallelujah. How is it that they are on the same level? By virtue of the word that God had given them. Hallelujah. He says further, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Hallelujah. Now, verse 20. Lest you think that this is a disciple thing. Hallelujah. This is not a disciple thing. Hallelujah. This is a congregational thing. Hallelujah. It says, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at the Swahili in that 20th verse, and I want to know if they use the personal pronoun to say their word. Hallelujah. Not he's not saying my word.
Yeah, what?
Their word.
Their word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There is an authority that has been bequeathed to us by reason of an inheritance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whenever you begin to think that you are in too much trouble, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough strength, you don't have enough health, hallelujah, you don't have any friends, hallelujah, you are walking in his footsteps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How is it that I think I deserve a nice big car? How is it that I think I need a nice comfortable bed? Hallelujah. How is it that I think that I have to go out to the good restaurants? How is it that I think that I am entitled to expensive clothes? Hallelujah. When it says of him, he had no place to lay his head. It says of him that all his friends forsook him. Hallelujah. How is it that I think that I should stand or sit in the prominent places?
Huh?
Hallelujah. How is it that I think that people should bow and grovel and come to me? Hallelujah. How How can I correlate? How can I relate in that respect with regards to the one whom I am supposed to be being made conformable to? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When it says of me, I should take the low seat. It says of me, I should take the low seat. And everything in me wants to take the high seat. Hallelujah. 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 You know, hallelujah. I have found out it really makes no difference what people call me. I don't care if they forget my name. It's of no value. My name is of no value. Hallelujah. Because I have a new name. I have a new nature. I have a new position, a new place of living. Hallelujah. If I walk into a room, hallelujah, and nobody recognizes me, I can say hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It may not necessarily be something that is comfortable. It may not be something that I would want to not change. But what I understand in it, is that God is working something eternal in my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have this woman with the issue of blood. You know, the church is bleeding to death. You walk out here. You know, we just came from Uganda. Uganda has the 50% of the population is under 15 years of age. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can walk down the streets and you can see church organization after church organization after church organization after church organization. We're driving down the street in Ethiopia. Hallelujah. Driving down the street in Ethiopia. And we go by this mega church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they're working on their parking lot. I guess it wouldn't hold enough cars. So they're ripping it up and making it bigger. And on the street in front of it, somebody is living in the gutter. And there is somebody over here in a little... And there is a city of cardboard huts all around the church. Hallelujah. It says in the days of Acts, they had something we don't have. It says they were turning the world upside down. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Something's wrong with our theology. And we need to get down on our faces before God and find out what the problem is. And I'm going to tell you something. The first thing that he's going to do is put his finger on you. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The first thing he does every time I go to God about a problem is he examines me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He examines me. And I always have to repent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Always have to repent. I came into this gospel repenting. anointing. And I will go into my position of inheritance repenting. Hallelujah. And I will have to repent until every aspect of darkness that is in my soul is brought to the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a story in Judges about Samson. You know, in some aspects of Samson's life, he's indicative of the overcomer. He's indicative of the church with power. Hallelujah. But also, he is indicative of the sickness that is within the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the longer you stay involved with church, the organization, hallelujah, the more corruption you see. You see immorality. You see adultery. You see perversion. Hallelujah. I went to a revival meeting in one of the major Pentecostal churches. And this man was reputed to have a healing ministry. And he was laying hands on people. People were getting delivered. People were getting healed. Hallelujah. Everybody was broadcasting. Hallelujah. What a mighty man of God this was. And as I sat in the congregation, the Lord said to me, "He is unclean." Hallelujah. He said, "He is unclean." Shortly thereafter, as I sat there in the congregation, hallelujah,
amen.
Shortly thereafter, it was revealed that he was homosexual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when this revelation began to break out in the community of the global world, the revelation of Jimmy Swaggart and the perversion that he was involved in. My God! The revelation of the guy that built TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, a homosexual. Have you ever heard of Paul Cain? Homosexual. It's the tip of the iceberg. Do you hear me? It's the tip of the iceberg. Paul Cain was supposed to be the man that William Branham laid hands on. You know who William Branham was? Huh? Hallelujah. He was the man that William Branham was laid hands and passed his mantle to. Homosexual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the churches in America are afraid to talk against it because they will be accused of hate crimes. They will be arrested. Their property will be confiscated. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What will you do when somebody comes knocking on your door take what it is that you built with your blood and your sweat. Hallelujah. What will you do? I can tell you what you will do. If you have not been practicing, if you have not been moving in that realm of death to self, hallelujah, you will capitulate. We were down in the Philippines. And we have been going down there for 5 years. Hallelujah. And it's been a hard road to hoe. Hallelujah. The Catholic spirit, the ecumenical spirit, hallelujah. The religiosity of church, the position of pastor. Oh my God. My God. And we have to fight year in, year out, going back, laying down the foundations, laying this down. Hallelujah. That down. Hallelujah. I told them the last time I was there. I said, you haven't changed anything except your titles. You've gone from being pastors to shepherds, but you're still pastors. Still telling people what to do, how to do it, when to do it, hallelujah, and what to do it with, hallelujah, and whether they can do it or not, hallelujah, hallelujah. And there was an issue. They wanted to register so that they could baptize and give a certificate of baptism and that they could marry legally. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, the marrying wasn't a problem. You just go down to the justice of the peace and get married. And then you bring them to the church, lay hands on them, and really marry them. Hallelujah. But the thing about the certificate of baptism was a little more difficult. Hallelujah. Because some places they don't have a birth certificate for the children. And so they were telling me, well, they cannot enroll in school if they don't have a birth certificate or a certificate of baptism. By the way, do you know who brought that law of the certificate of baptism into being a law in the Philippines? Catholic Church. Hallelujah. Catholic Church. Same here.
I don't go to school without that.
Yeah. Hallelujah. So they were pressuring me to give them the liberty or to make the decision for them. I said, I am not your bishop. Hello?
Hello?
It was just as much a test for me as it was for them. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling them, I don't want you to get it. No, you can't get it. Because I know the ramifications of getting it. But I can't say that. I said, I'm not your bishop. I'm not your pastor. I said, you have to make the decision. You have to make the decision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you have to make the right decision based on your awareness of what the Bible says and what responsibility God puts on you concerning it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I asked them, tell me if they pass another law, that says you cannot conjugate in your home or outside of a recognized denominational affiliation, will you now be pressured to submit and affiliate yourself with a major denomination? Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are living in a very critical time. And let me try to explain it a little bit if I have the words. There is an order in which God follows. And the order of God through the dispensations of time is the same, except for each dispensation of time, it comes to a maximum of what it can be. A good illustration of this is in the scripture in Matthew when it says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. Hallelujah. So there is a maximizing of God, and every dispensation of time. And there is also a maximizing of wickedness. Hallelujah. As time is going on, in every dispensation, there is a maximizing of wickedness. Hallelujah. We have an illustration of that with Noah. Now, there's a peculiar thing about Noah, because it says in Noah's generation, he was found perfect. That's what the Bible says when it talks about Noah. Now, also, in Hebrews, when it's talking about Noah, God said he used Noah and his position of perfection and righteousness as a watermark by which to judge the whole world. We're not talking about blood of Jesus now. We're not talking about Jesus Christ coming yet. We're not talking about baptism of Holy Spirit yet. And yet there was a man who had a desire in his heart, and in spite of his environment, he moved contrary to everything around him. In the hundred and some odd years, he preached the destruction of the world. Hallelujah. And the people then didn't believe him. I ask you a question. Did that stop the destruction? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As it was in the days of Noah. Isn't this what the Bible says? My Bible. As in the days of Noah, where they were what? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until what? The flood came and took them all away. Those as the days of Noah are these days that we are living in. Hallelujah. And God is now bringing a word. He's bringing a word to a peculiar people. people who have the tenacity and the determination to believe it. And to press through every obstacle. Hallelujah. You know, as God built an ark in Noah's day, and he built an ark in the days of Moses, so God is now building another ark. But unlike Noah's ark, hallelujah, hallelujah, that was made out of wood with dowels and iron, hallelujah, God is building an ark out of people. He says, I do not want to dwell in houses made with men's hands, but I want to dwell within the heart of a people. Hallelujah. If you look at the ark that Moses built, that ark is a representation of you and me. It was made out of wood. Hallelujah. Which is indicative of the nature of man. Hallelujah. Now, I am jumping over a whole lot to get you to the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. And it's called the Ark of the Covenant. What covenant? What covenant? Turn with me to Jeremiah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremiah 31,
verse 31.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31, 31.
Okay, Jeremiah 31,
31.
31, 31. Angalia siku zinakuja, asema Bwana, nitakapofanya agano jipya na nyumba ya Israeli.
Hallelujah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be a God unto them. Hallelujah. But they shall also be a people unto me. Hallelujah. God has always been a God to a people. But God has never had a people who are a people as unto God. Hallelujah. But God is saying in the last day, there is going to be a people. Hallelujah. Who have the tenacity and the determination to cleanse themselves of every unrighteousness, every iniquity, to divorce themselves from every bondage of iniquity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you have many traditions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have traditions for when you're born. You have traditions for naming your children. You have the traditions for growing up and coming into puberty and all of the things that go along with it. Hallelujah. You have traditions for marriage. Hallelujah. Traditions upon traditions upon traditions. You have traditions concerning your parents, your mother, your father. You have traditions. Hallelujah. And there are rituals that go with them. Hallelujah. Oh yes. I've been there. I've seen it. I know all about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My skin may not be black, but I know the workings of the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what goes on in the secret places. Hallelujah. The oblations that are poured out. The oblations. The offerings that are poured out. Hallelujah. The fires and the candles that you light. Hallelujah. The little monuments that you make. And the things that you hang on your wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know all about them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to break them. You have to tear them down. You have to be the one to begin to move and present yourself as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. When Gideon was called, the first responsibility that Gideon had was not to go out and defeat the Midianites. It was to go up to the high places. It was to destroy the family altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, God has a sense of humor. Because when he called Gideon, he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of God, thy mighty man of valor. Oh my God. The man had to sneak off in the darkness. He had to sneak off into the darkness. And he had to make sure nobody saw him going up there to the altar to rip it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that wasn't good enough. He said, well, I've done it now. Praise the Lord. I can go home and I can do now what God's asked me to do. Oh no. God says you're not through yet. You now have to cut down the trees. You have to cut down the trees. Hallelujah. You know, in some places when a man is born or a child is born, they plant a tree. Hallelujah. And that tree grows and the child grows. Hallelujah. And if the child goes off somewhere and the family wants the child, they go over to the tree and call his name. They go over to the tree and they call his name. And wherever the child is in the world, he has to come. He has to get up. He has to go home and renew his vows with the family and the spiritual heritage of which he was born in. You know what? We take it to church. We take it all to church with us. We sit down in our pew and all of our heritage sits down with us. And we say, praise the Lord. And we dance and we clap. Hallelujah. And all the time hell is dancing and clapping with you. Hallelujah. Devil's in the church. Devil's in the church. Hallelujah. And you know something? As Samson's eyes were put out, so were the eyes of the church. You know, I have a good friend, and he said to me, Bert, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, quacks. All right. If it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, it's a duck. I'm telling you, if it looks like a devil, if it quacks like a devil, if it waddles like a devil, it's a devil. It's a devil. And when I submit myself to that devil, I become his servant. Are you got it? Romans 6:16. Huh? To whomsoever you submit your members to obey, huh? Whether unto sin or to righteousness, thou become the servant of that master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if I submit myself to the fashion spirit, and I begin to dress because it's fashionable, I wear the right cufflinks. I got the right shoes. Hallelujah. The right tie. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's not good to dress, but if I'm dressing in accordance to a fashion, I'm submitting myself to a devil. And I begin to do devil work. Because devil work is capitalized in the word rebellion. Did you hear me? And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I want to tell you something. The devil wants Christians more than he wants devil people. He wants your life. Wants to use your capability and potentiality of life to work witchcraft. Hallelujah! And the church has been basically submitting and doing it. Hallelujah. God is judging the system. Hallelujah. There was a word that the Lord spoke to me, not this last year, but the year before. And I have found that each time the Lord speaks to me a word concerning the year to come, that word continues and grows and maximizes. And one of the words that the Lord spoke to me, he says, yet once more. I am not, I am am going to shake not only the earth, but I am going to shake the heavens also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Kenya, when I was here in April, I had an experience. What God showed me was like a powder keg. You know what a powder keg is? It's a barrel or a case full of gunpowder, explosive gunpowder. He showed me that as Kenya. And he said to me, Kenya is as a powder keg. And around the bottom, along the bottom of the case, there was this powder that was all around the bottom. There was powder poured out on the floor around the case. And he said to me, waiting for the right spark. Hallelujah. There is something that the Lord began to speak to me on this trip concerning Kenya. And there are going to be a series of explosions. And they're going to start out kind of minor, like they're insignificant. And it could be in your political realm, in your economical realm. Hallelujah. And what it will do is it will ignite like a fuse. And it will come and it will ignite another explosion. And that explosion will be bigger than the last explosion. And it is going to be in preparation for a major time of trouble. Hallelujah. Because the keg that I saw in my previous visit is the keg that all of these secondary explosions are designed to ignite and to explode. Hallelujah. Now you have a power. God is giving you an authority. When we were in Port Harcourt this last December, the Lord brought a word to the fellowships in Nigeria that because they were not obeying God, they were not doing what God had told them to do. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was going to bring civil war. Hallelujah. And he was bringing civil war to punish the church. Did you know that God has always used war to punish the church? Did you know that? Look in your Bible. Read Isaiah. Read Ezekiel. It's prophesying destruction upon destruction because Israel had turned their backs upon God. Hallelujah. Haggai was made to go and to marry a harlot to demonstrate the rebellion of God's people. Do you think the condition of the church then is any less than it is now? Hallelujah. Many of you are affiliated with different churches. You have an inside inside knowledge of what's going on in some of the places. Hallelujah. Pastors having wives and having mistresses. Hallelujah. And it's all being sanctified by the silence in the church. There's no word in the church that rises up and tells the congregation the man is in sin. But that time is coming to a close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a man in the United States. He was called A.A. Allen. Have anybody ever heard of A.A. Allen? Praise the Lord. He was a mighty man. And he built a facility down in Southern California that was called Miracle Valley. He had the power and the gift of healing. There, outside of his building there, which was a huge, monstrous thing, there was a stack of wheelchairs and crutches and all kinds of apparatus of prosthesis, arms and legs of healings. Hallelujah. He was in a meeting one day, and there was a woman that had a growth on the back of her neck that was this big. That was as big as her neck. That was as big as her neck. And it stuck out about that far. He walked right up to it. He grabbed it and he pulled it off of the woman's neck and he threw it down on the floor. The woman was healed. Instantaneous. But the man had a problem. He was addicted to the bottle. He was an alcoholic. Every time after the meeting, he would go home and he would drink himself into a drunken stupor. And lay on the floor till the next day. And then go into the healing temple and heal people. Hallelujah. One day, little old lady comes up very fragilely to the temple, to the big stage, looking up at the man, and she says, "I have a word from God for you." And the man looked at her and said, "When did God leave me and go to you and tell you something that he has not told me?" And she says, "Nevertheless, God says, if you do not repent, I will kill you." Hallelujah. The man was found dead in his living room floor with an empty bottle of whiskey, because there were eyes in the church. There was somebody with the tenacity and the determination to press through the opposition, who had touched the hem of God's garment. Hallelujah! You know, it is bad that what these men are doing. It is even worse what we as a congregation let them do. Hallelujah! And though the man of God is in sin, there is supposed to be eyes and ears in the body. Hallelujah. But if I'm a pastor and I'm over a congregation, I want to make sure that that congregation does not see, does not hear if I am living in sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to read to you. Ezekiel 34. I want to tell you, it was very difficult for me to come to Kenya. You know, very difficult. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's because of the strength of the word. I don't know. Very difficult for me to come. Hallelujah. But I'm here. And I have wrestled with this word since God gave me this word when I was flying in here. Hallelujah. And I am not trying to expose anybody or put my finger on any individual. What God is doing is laying bare an ecclesiastical system that is rotten to the core. Hallelujah. And they are using the Word of God as a means to bring people into subjugation and bondage. Hallelujah. Ezekiel is not a prophet for the time in which he lived. Ezekiel, when he was prophesying, was already in captivity. He was not like his counterparts. He was not like Isaiah. He was not like Jeremiah, who were prophesying the destruction and the captivity of Jerusalem. Many of the things that Ezekiel was prophesying, you could say, have already happened. And he was already in the midst of captivity. Hallelujah. But Ezekiel was not ordained to prophesy to the contemporaries of his age. Ezekiel was ordained to preach in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in which we are now living. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and that they may not be meat for them. Hallelujah. That he is going to himself become their shepherd. The flock. the flock that they have scattered. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you, hallelujah, to have eaten all the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Which ye have trodden with your feet. They drink that which thou hast fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, even I will judge between fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I could just as well say to you, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said in the beginning that there is a process that must precede the coming of Jesus Christ. And as that cycle of events happened in his day, so also must it happen in this day. One of the first things that happened, hallelujah, was the coming of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Now, John was a physical man in a physical time, in a physical place. His word was not a physical word. It was a spiritual word. And as it was in the days of Jesus and the days of John, so must it also be in the days that we now live in. There must be a ministry of the word that calls the people of God to a place of repentance. Hallelujah. It was not just the masses that John was dealing with. John was dealing with the rabbinical system of his day. The religious environment of what he lived in. Hallelujah. He was not only living within it, but he was a part of it, for he was the son of a priest. Hallelujah. And was designated by his position of birth to follow in the footsteps of his father. Hallelujah. But God called him out of the ecclesiastical system, took him off into the wilderness, and began to instruct him in the ability of moving under the anointing of God. There were three things that John was demonstrating to an end time people. Hallelujah. He was demonstrating the position or the willingness to cooperate with God. Hallelujah. To submit himself to the process. Hallelujah. I don't know. I suppose John could have been just like any other child, wanting to do this or wanting to do that, or to dress like this or dress like that. But that wasn't what that was ordained of him by God. He had to learn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the other things that John demonstrated, hallelujah, was the ability of man to hear from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was God speaking through a man in the days of Jesus. Jesus was there, but it was John that was speaking. Hallelujah. And he was speaking under the unction and the authority of God. But the one thing that he really demonstrated is in the word that he spoke that he must decrease. He must decrease that God our Christ might increase. And so it is also with us in this hour in which we live. Hallelujah. We must decrease. The message is called death to self. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a message of sacrifice. It's a message of giving. When you dig in your pocket and you have nothing to pull out of your pocket, and God says, dig, you dig. Hallelujah. You pull down into yourself for the strength to get up in the morning. Hallelujah. You dig down in yourself for the strength. You are always being pressed, but not isolated or deserted. You're always weak. Hallelujah. But never forsaken. You're always persecuted. This is the life. This is the position. This is the place that God calls sonship. It is something that God is offering to you. I wonder what you would do with it. God bless you.
Amen.